And the Phoenix area here, just a few months ago, there was a new regionalism type of a structure created as a public-private partnership between ASU, that's Arizona State University, and three different NGOs here in town, nonprofit organizations that deal with smart city technology. You might guess that they are basically financed by big business, by the big companies. They're stepping up to the plate and saying, because Phoenix has 4.2 million people and it has 20 different cities, right? Well, it's hard for these companies to deal with 20 different city councils. You got county mayors or county supervisors, but you got all these city councils trying to get a consistent policy across all these cities. It's going to be difficult. But cities are sovereign entities. That's the whole point of a city. Mesa, Tempe, whatever it is, they have a city council that was duly elected by the people to care for the affairs of that city. And citizens have input into that. Well, here's the deal. This new regional setup is going to, they think, we have other ideas but about it, but they think that they are going to create this supra-government organization that will dictate smart city technology for the whole region. And they will tell the city councils what they must do to implement smart city. In other words, they'll create the standards, say, look, you want smart city here? It has to be like stretch socks, one size fits all, and we have knitted the perfect sock for the whole area. And this is the way you must do it. So they are rising up to provide, to be a regional governance organization, which is unconstitutional, patently unconstitutional, to assert authority over the sovereign entities of the cities and our community. This is driven straight from the top by sustainable development policies. This is how they've proposed it.
Are they going for it, your local city?
So far, I haven't seen any positive reaction to this. But then again, I haven't seen a lot of negative reaction either yet. But it's just brand new. And this is a brand new concept that's taking place here in Phoenix as a test case. Other cities are watching from around America. We know that. We've got articles on it. And there's even countries in Europe that are watching what's going on here to see if it's successful or not, so they can implement, do the same thing everywhere else around the world. But in our country, in our country, that's unconstitutional. Our Constitution guarantees to the states that they guarantee to the states, I should say, a republican form of government. Right? A republican form of government. Regionalism is Soviet. This is an element of communism. Regional governments, governance, not governments, but regional governance, where the cities still have a form of being an independent city, but they have no authority to do anything. Just like the EU right now. That's a perfect example. In a larger sense, the nations in the European Union have sovereignty, they say, right? And they have their own parliaments, their own PMs, their own presidents, whatever they call them. They have their own structure, but that structure is only able to deal with stuff that's like, well, trash collecting and police and maybe and some other things, but they cannot deal with any national issues that they used to deal with because the EU takes care of everything.
No, that'd be terrible. That would be
And the
absolutely
EU
terrible.
is not elected. This is not an elected body. They're just appointed. And the individual countries just continue to diminish in sovereignty.
It's a terrible setup. It's absolutely terrible. Well, one of the things that, you know, to highlight the smart city, you know, there's some good things that can happen as far as cleaning up crime and so forth. But the other thing that can happen, because we know that drugs are so supported by governments and powerful people in the communities. And people, if you're not aware of that, you need to get educated. And so what it could do is get rid of all their competition. Now we have a monopoly of drug lords, and they use it for that purpose. I mean, there's so many nefarious, unless you have, it's the same with communism, unless you have an angel running it, you're going to have some bad stuff forced down your throat.
You're exactly right. There's nothing, as far as we the people who we think we have a constitution that still is in effect in our country, this is the end run around national security or national sovereignty. This is what Gardner talked about, 1974. It's like nobody's watching, nobody's paying attention. All of a sudden, boom, there it is. Oh, I don't know where it came from, you know? We've got another layer, by the way, of regionalism across America right now in so-called councils of governments, COGS. They're in 48 states now. I think there's some 600 regional governance organizations called councils of governments. Sometimes they're called metropolitan planning organizations. Sometimes they're simply called councils of governments. There's several. In fact, California is completely covered by them. You have ABAG, the Association of Bay Area Governments up in the Bay Area. You have SCAG, the Southern California version of it. And there's several of them in between that assert authority over multiple counties, multiple cities, and so on. And it's just flat out regionalism. And these are all over the country right now. You say, well, where did these come from? Well, they just slipped in and nobody really paid any attention to them and questioned, is this really right? Is this really constitutional?
How do they get their authority? I mean, why are cities, is it through funding?
Yes.
It's all based on money, isn't it? Because they don't get money for highways or whatever.
It is based on money. And it used to be that when the federal government issued a grant for highways, construction, whatever, it would either go directly to the city or the county or the state. That worked just fine for a long time. But these non-governmental organizations, these COGS, they're kind of quasi-government. They're not purely government. They set themselves up to administer the funds to the cities in that area. And the federal government, complicit in this whole scheme, redirected the money that used to go to cities directly through the COGS organization. So now they get all the money for all the cities. And they say, okay, now this is what we're going to do. We're going to put a road here. We're going to have a bike lane over here. We're going to put in, you know, cameras, street cameras, whatever. They dictate how that money will be spent. And they say to the cities, if you want your money, if you want your funds, you do what we tell you to do.
And they have a staff of planners and stuff that tie into the national staff.
Yes, exactly right. It's just like there's no constitutional republic in this. There's not even any democracy in this because nobody votes on it.
Yeah, I could see people doing that. I could totally see that. Well, let's tie in some of these latest events like Venezuela. What's going on there? How does that tie into this new world order technocracy?
I'll tell you, Venezuela is just a train wreck. I don't see a lot of... a lot of significance in Venezuela as far as technocracy is concerned right now. It's just a stinking train wreck, and socialism brought it down. I know there was extenuating circumstances, but...
There's oil, yes. There's control of resources, yes. That kind of stuff. Well, how about China and Russia?
We could talk about China.
China's a big
China
one.
China is a technocracy already. It's been identified as a technocracy by the global elite. We're still calling it a communist dictatorship. It has long ceased to be a communist dictatorship. It's now a technocracy, and it is morphed fully into all the things that we've been talking about already, from the top down. It's a totally engineered society. In China, now, by the year 2020, 2 years away, 1 year away now, China is going to have installed 600 million facial recognition cameras. There's 1.4 billion people in the country. That means there's one camera for every 2.5 people. All of these cameras are tied into artificial intelligence algorithms, you know, computers that can identify and recognize anybody anywhere at any time. They've implemented a tracking system that you cannot get away from. They know where you are all the time. And they've implemented a social credit scoring system now, nationwide, where they will collect all the known data on you, your financial data, your school data, your social data, like all of your posts and stuff, to get a psycho profile on you, and who your friends are and all that kind of stuff. And they're assigning, by algorithm, a social credit score, they call it, where if you are a good little citizen and you're up high on the scale, say you have a 700, you can buy a plane ticket, you can get a train ticket, you can travel, you can go to university, you can live in,
you're free,
you can live in the better, maybe in the better apartments,
to a certain degree.
But if you're a troublemaker, if you jaywalk too many times, or if you didn't pay a debt, or you don't have the right friends, you have, say, a 200 score. You go down to buy a train ticket to go visit, you know, Aunt May or whatever, somewhere across the country, and say, sorry, you can't buy a train ticket because your social credit score is too low. This is Orwellian at best.
The scientists at LivePet are hard at work solving our cancer epidemic. They have the most promising cancer trials going on now with pet clinics around the country that I have ever seen. You can see the promising cancer research and trials going on some of the past shows that I've done. The links are below. While working with C60 and other ingredients, these talented scientists developed a hair growth serum that really works. They sat on it for years. After all, cancer is their focus. But they now realize how much the profits from this product could really help their cancer research. So the C360 Hair Growth product was launched. C360 Hair Growth is specifically designed to revive your hair growth by targeting hair follicles and restarting your hair growth cycle. C60, the active ingredient in C360 Hair Growth, reactivates hair follicles that have stalled due to hereditary hair loss, physical conditions, or environmental factors that may affect follicle production. You will begin to see visible results using C360 Hair Growth within 3 to 6 weeks. Buy today knowing that your future hair growth will help fund very promising cancer research. See more at the link below.
That's incredible. It's how we would treat kindergartners. The scary part, you know, the majority of us are like, well, if it's for crime, it's for, you know, regular stuff. We don't want crime anyways. It's not that I'm worrying about. It's the nefarious control. It's for the elite criminals who are in charge to control it. I don't have trust in government officials inherently like other people do, and I don't think you should. Government officials will be corrupted as easy as anyone else, and easier because they got power. And next thing you know, you're in a situation. So you can't let them have complete control because they are going to use it against you. Human beings behave that way. We have thousands of year history of showing what human beings do when they have that power. So what do we do, Patrick? You've been looking at this. What do we do?
At this point, there's so little awareness in our country. And I'm mostly concerned about our country, although I write about the world. People are just, I don't know, I don't want to say they're brain dead, but they're completely insensitive to this issue. And that isn't completely their fault. I believe that a lot of the booming, buzzing confusion in Washington, D.C. right now is meant to be an attention-drawing mechanism to draw people's attention away from what's really going on. So you have And here's the common thing in Washington. And I don't care who we're talking about. It's always look at me, look at me, look at me. Everybody wants us to look at them, whether it's the porn star Stormy Daniels or her attorney Avenatti or whatever his name was. He's a look at me guy, or whether it's the attorney general or Robert Mueller or President Trump or any of his entourage, all of them, Roger Stone, it's all about look at me, look at me, look at me. And so everybody's looking at them. And while they're all looking at Washington, oh, Washington's going to solve our problems. They're not going to solve our problems. They cannot solve your city's problems. They can't solve your county's problems. That's up to you, right? So you have to ask the question, is the booming, buzzing confusion that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now purely accidental and just a reflection of society at large? Or is there something more purposeful behind it? I can't really answer that question, but I ask it because this is the effect that it's having. And when I go out and speak to groups and stuff, people come up to me, have you heard of Q? Or you know, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? You know, hey, is Trump going to, you know, do something here? It's like nobody has any desire to talk about anything other than Washington. This is killing us. It's just, this needs to change. Honestly, I don't care who's in office, Republican or Democrat. Since 1973, both Republicans and Democrats have equally screwed our country. This is a fact.
That's equally. True. That's a fact.
It doesn't matter whether it was George H.W. Bush or Bill Clinton and Al Gore or George W. Bush.
Facts.
And Dick Cheney, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, by the way, or Barack Obama. They've
Absolutely.
Taken it right across the whole bunch of them. And every administration has been dominated by these people, and they are dominating it now. So we're not out of the woods. So what do we do about it? Honestly, awareness obviously has to come. You cannot defeat an enemy you don't know about or that you don't understand. That's the art of war. I got a little book for Christmas. I love this little book. Can you see this?
Is it the Art of War?
I'm always talking about this.
I've been told, Andy Shechtman. Yeah, I gotta buy it and just study it. Andy Shechtman always talks. Every time he comes on, he brings up the Art of War.
There's a lot of wisdom, and I hate to say this guy was a China guy. You know, he's Chinese, but there's a lot of truth in it. You cannot defeat an enemy you do not know.
But every sports team, you do it whether you know it or not. Diversion is how you get so much accomplished with diversion.
Exactly. So awareness is one. Local action at this point is another. This is my side drive right now. As I created last year, I created an organization called Citizens for Free Speech to promote local activism. That is, go down to your own city council, see what they're doing, get a seat at the table, and tell them stop it. Just if it's not right, tell them to stop it.
Well, what about 5G? I think 5G is the stuff on steroids.
Now you're going to get me worked up here.
Well, because, you know, I've been covering the landmark trial in England that's going on. And I don't know if you saw that show or not, but it's been hurting, you know, unborn babies have been dying, and nosebleeds and cancer and brain. I mean, just all sorts of stuff. And they're testing it on these people. And we're rolling it out in full force here.
The health and 5G, by the way, is 100% technocracy oriented. And I'll tell you why. The health benefits, I'm just going to put them aside. I'm just not even, they're there, but I'm going to completely ignore the health aspect of 5G. 5G is being driven by the big cell carriers, the AT&Ts, T-Mobile, Verizon, and so on. And in other countries, by the big cell carriers there. the cell carriers are in cahoots with all of the Siemens, IBMs, and, you know, the NVIDIAs and these giant global corporations. 5G is not about cell phone being faster. You know, like, oh boy, you're going to get, you know, trigabit speed instead of gigabit speed now. That's, you're going to get it, but that's not what it's all about. It's about the Internet of Things. I have listened to several addresses by CEOs from these big companies. They all talk about the Internet of Things, which is basically everything talking together between itself, like your refrigerator talking.
Which is a good thing, which most people who like technology would like that.
Yes.
It's just, again, the nefarious usages of it.
This is the problem. Smart city technology is based on the Internet of Things. The Internet of Things currently cannot work correctly, not as designed, as they anticipate, because the speeds of 4G are too low. And if it wasn't just at the speeds, actually throughput speeds are getting fast, and you can explain this later to your listeners what the latency factor has to do with. But latency on a typical home system, a DSL or a, you know, whatever, Cox cable system, typically your latency will be between 15 milliseconds and 30 milliseconds. That's the ping back to an outside reference. Say, I'm ready to send, I'm ready to receive, and then data starts pumping. 5G lowers the latency factor to 1 millisecond or less. This is disruptive to technology in general. How they do it, I honestly haven't figured that out yet, but that's what the numbers are coming in at. That means that all of the Internet of Things devices in a city, the cameras that have facial recognition, the sensors that are built into buildings, the traffic flow, the autonomous vehicles that are driving on your street, the Waymo and the Uber cars that are self-driving, they will be able to have real-time communication with the headquarters computer as well as all of the devices in their surrounding area, like in a smart autonomous car situation. Cars are anticipated to be able to communicate with each other as they travel down the busy freeway, so that they all stay out of each other's way, and that they, you know, they're doing tracking, of course, as well. But the Internet of Things is the big prize for 5G. And this is what these big companies are going after. It will indeed disrupt communications in general. Cable TV, forget it. This is going to completely go over the top of it. most local communications, too.
With my background, I actually think all this stuff is pretty cool. But
yes.
The negative aspect of it, like I keep saying, there's so many positives, but then there's this whole dark side. What do we do? Do we say, let's just forego this advancement in our society because there's just too many dark sides that come with it? Or do we say, okay, we'll do this, but we manage it to make sure that you don't use it against us? I mean, how do we
you're right. There's two things here now that we kind of got on the table for this. One is, and I'll bring back the health issue just for a second.
Well, the health issue is a whole nother
issue. The health issue should be, and any city council can do this, by the way, you will not implement 5G in our town or city until you provide the correct testing, that this is a safe technology for our citizens. And citizens, I'm talking to citizens right now of a given city, you have the right to demand that your city council protect the integrity and the health of its citizens. They have that. That's part of their mandate as a city council. You have a right to go and complain and whine and make a stink until they listen to you. Do not let these companies come in until they prove to you, city council members, that this technology is indeed safe.
Because this, from what I understand, it's against the Geneva yes. Code. If they're doing this without showing you that it's safe and not doing the proper testing and whatever else they need to do, it's against the Geneva Code. It's yes. This is beyond
it is.
Beyond.
And they're cramming it down our throat, basically.
Yes.
And the other yes. the other side of it, indeed, you know, the control side, if there was no signs of anybody in sight that wanted to use it against us, to weaponize it, if you will, you know, you might say, okay, that's cool. Let's do it. And maybe we can get some good at it. Let's test it, right? Let's put it through the ringer and test it out. And if it works and we can get some benefit out of it, then let's go do it. But we know for a fact that the people that are licking their chops, that are driving this whole process, are a pack of sharks. This demonstrated. We know that. We know these
so
people
want. So how do we keep that? Yeah. How do we? You know. How do we? Because you're not. The problem is, it's advancement in the sense of helping us, and it's so easy to sell that, because all of us want faster internet. You know, we want these things, but how do we control the nefarious activities around it? Like you said, we know they're a pack of sharks. Well, we know there's health issues. Yeah. That's a separate deal. But the control thing, how do we, I mean, we have to have some way to stop them from doing this, because we are running off a yeah. cliff. The more bad stuff I see, and these are the guys that are going to be in charge of it, that scares the hell yes. out of me.
It does. This has been, this whole program that we've been talking about, technocracy, sustainable development, Agenda 21, this has been criticized correctly by many people over the years. Nobody has listened. They just haven't listened. Back in 1994, there was a book written by two gentlemen. The book was called The Earth Brokers, by two gentlemen who had participated in all of the Earth Summit proceedings. They were principals in it, negotiators. They wrote a book called The Earth Brokers 2 years later. This is what they said. We argue that UNCED, UNCED, by the way, is the Economic Development Council of the United Nations. We argue that UNCED has boosted precisely the type of industrial development that is destructive for the environment, the planet and its inhabitants. We see how, as a result of UNCED, the rich will get richer, the poor poorer, while more and more of the planet is destroyed in the process. They said that in 1994, publicly. The book got some distribution. Nobody listened. These people say they're going to save the planet. See, that's the thing. They say they're going to save the planet.
Yeah, it's
they're
stupid.
Doing just the opposite. They are destroying the planet.
Well, you know, the health issues, this is going to be bad to say, but it's kind of true. The health issues is our saving grace in keeping this from going forward. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I had a scientist on that said, you know, it's going to be like asbestos or something. It's going to get out there, and then there's going to be all these sick people, and then they're going to be suing, and all these companies are going to have a... So it's going to be a nightmare. Yes. From a health perspective. And the health problems could keep us from the other
we
problems.
Hope, we could hope so.
But
I think the time is ripe right now, is just before this stuff gets implemented everywhere, for people in local communities to go down and surround the city council and say, you must protect us from this threat. We're not saying we don't want it. We're not saying that it isn't possibly beneficial for anybody. I mean, you can approach them that way. You don't have to go off on a tangent and put on a tinfoil hat and try and scare them half to death. You can say, look, the benefits of the technology is immaterial. We just want to make sure that we're going to be safe. I mean, you do the same thing for a highway or a road that's being put in, right?
It's ridiculous.
Hey, we need a stoplight on this road. People are running in each other, and and it's not working the way it is, and we need a stoplight, you know, protect us. And they do. They, okay, you're right. We'll put in a stoplight there so people quit crashing into each other. Well, this is the same mentality that they need to be approached for 5G. There's enough alarm bells.
And not after it's implemented and a lot of people are sick.
It's too late.
Because that's what we're running into right now. Well, that's what we're running into, and there'll be a lot of sick people. And so what they'll do, I mean, I don't know, maybe they'll come up with an alternative thing that does the same thing that won't make people sick. I don't know, but that's
the situation. For a long time, they're going to say, it's not us. You know, we're not the ones making
sick.
Just like tobacco. You know, it wasn't us that gave everybody lung cancer.
They'll have councils and, yeah. Yeah, the tobacco thing is crazy. They have, you can see it going on live in other countries where it's not illegal yet, where they have really healthy people, young, healthy people selling tobacco, right? They're smoking and saying how it's great. They, when it was here, they used to say that doctors, two out of three doctors say it's healthy and all this other crap. And then they started putting together councils on, so they did all this bogus fake news, if you will, and research to prove that cigarettes were good for you or weren't harmful. You know, they moved from good to not harmful to, okay, maybe it is bad. Now it's really bad. So that'll be the process probably.
Probably so. But I'm hoping, I have some kind of a faint hope that we can activate people on a local basis to get involved with the process. The process can't be solved in Washington, by the way. In fact, Washington is helping it. The FCC, as you might remember, if you saw the story, the FCC passed a ruling that told the cities that they cannot negotiate with the rollout of 5G coming into their city, like how much gets charged for the light pole installation and so on. And cities across America just went ballistic over that, says, you take it and shove it. You can't tell us what to do. But the rule is still there. The FCC is actually in bed with these big telecom carriers that are putting it in. So we can't look to Washington, D.C. to get anything, you know, figured out. The FCC director, you can't touch him. He's not anybody we can even hardly complain to. What good does it do? He's appointed. He's appointed by the president. So unless the president unappoints him, we have no recourse. And if you think that, if anybody would think, well, we're going to write a petition and send it to the president, good luck with that. You think he's going to have time to read anything in the next 2 years? He's completely embattled in Washington, D.C., fighting for his
life.
He's
like really up to his neck. He's up to it. It happens at the local levels. We have to localize.
Absolutely.
That's why it was, when this country was founded, they talked about everything at the local levels as much as possible. Anything that can be at the local levels are at the local levels.
And there's a lot of hope there. People don't realize how much hope and influence they have on a local level. Washington State right now, I'm proud of these guys up there. There was an initiative passed in the last election regarding gun control. And what was passed, this happens only in Washington, you know, where you got Seattle and down to Olympia. So it's just a bastion of progressivism. They passed this law by popular vote that was patently unconstitutional. I mean, just outrageously unconstitutional. The county sheriffs have stood up en masse and said, we refuse to implement or enforce these laws. We're not going to do it because it's unconstitutional.
That's what we need to do more of. Jim Rothstein has a plan that every city can implement, and I'm going to link it here, on how to get rid of human trafficking in your city. It would end it, and you'd be supporting the police locally. It is beautiful.
That would be great to see.
You need to do it in every city, and I'm going to link it here, but it happens at the local levels.
That would be really good. Human trafficking is such an issue. It has probably nothing to do with technocracy, but it's a huge issue.
Well, no. Let me tell you how it has to do with technocracy. Human compromise. is what's behind all this swamp issue. Because a lot of people won't do things unless they're compromised. And so the majority of our Congress and people in power are compromised. Wars, we go to wars because of human compromise. So it's all tied. Until we fix that problem, it'll be really hard to fix anything.
Well, we're working on it. So all I can say is we're, you know, my goal has been for a long time to, you know, try and explain to people how the world works here with this, the globalization process and so on. And it's, you know, we said a lot of things back in the 70s and 80s and hardly anybody listened back then. You know, we sold, oh my gosh, we sold 75,000 books in the course of 2 years, which is a lot for back then. Our books were even used as textbooks in political science classes, but it didn't do it. You know, it, nobody really paid any attention. No policymaker paid attention. They had their preset ideas of what they're going to do. And they said, the heck with all you guys, we're doing what we want to do. And so nobody listened.
Yeah, well, we have to have people listen now. Yeah. Well, where can people learn? Where can they get your new book and learn about this
absolutely.
Stuff?
Well, absolutely. My book is available, of course, on Amazon.com. Number one technocrat company in the world, probably. but it's available on Amazon.com. You can get it really fast if you buy it there. And it's also available on my website, technocracy.news. And that's where people can go and keep up with the global story on technocracy. I bring articles in from all around the world that have to do with technocracy. And it's quite a collection now. I've got almost 3,000 stories posted. It's all fully indexed and categorized. And it's a research goldmine. If anybody really wants to find out about some issue, just go and search on technocracy.news, you'll find a bunch of articles on just about anything.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you so much. I know you're working hard to educate people on such an important issue. They need to understand the dark side of all this.
Indeed, they do.
Will you stick around for my Patreons?